Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are excited to bring Reuben Brennan. He is the CEO of People Partners and can be found at peoplepartnersbpo.com. Welcome to the show, Reuben.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you, Winter. Stoked to be here. Very excited.
Yeah, your name in lights is the introduction. Okay, so before we get started in talking about what you do and how you do it, tell us an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
Great question. In terms of, I have let the cat out of a bag a couple of times on LinkedIn, but one of my absolute hobbies and passions is kite surfing. I absolutely love it to bits. And so take the chance wherever I can, even if I'm traveling, to go kite surfing. So even in just the last few months, I've been kite surfing in Dubai, Australia,
Wow.
I've in South Africa. So destinations, it's a great sport. Absolutely love it to bits.
Is it dangerous to, like, you catch the wrong wind and phew,
you're gone? Yeah, there's certainly some techniques and some safety aspects to it, but it's just a really exhilarating sport. And just love it.
I love that. Okay, well, all right. So why don't you tell us at a high level what it is that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, suppose we really help on the people and profit piece. Mm-hmm. So specifically through workforce reengineering and offshore staffing. So what we do is we dive into accountability charts to investigate, you know, how responsibilities and tasks are flowing through the organization. And we're looking for gaps, holes, you know, inefficiency, or where high value resources are doing $6 an hour tasks. Which I suppose in EOS talk is, you know, that delegate and elevate opportunity.
Yeah.
So that ultimately culminates in us producing a pretty comprehensive report for clients, which is stacked of recommendations.
Okay.
And that can help produce some pretty tremendous value, both in efficiency and general workforce cohesion and happiness.
Right.
But obviously via that workforce reengineering and those $6 an hour tasks we identify and the gaps and holes, we can find an opportunity to normally plug in some offshore staffing, and that can really help produce an exponential impact because we've got offices in South Africa and the Philippines, and obviously over there, labor rates are a bit different, normally up to about 80% cheaper.
Yeah.
So we don't have a bench of talent. We help clients recruit the exact talent they need. So we look to match the background, the experience, the skill set, the qualifications, the values, right through to, you know, the specific tech stack and software that they might need in their roles.
Right.
And we're really committed to making sure it's a really great fit. So not just putting anyone in the role. So
right.
And then once we've got them, that amazing human onboarded, we support both the client and the staff to make sure it's a really healthy, productive relationship. You know, we look after payroll, time and attendance, activity monitoring, the IT, the cybersecurity. So we look after all those mechanics.
Yeah.
So that the relationship's just freed up to, you know, to really focus on the big picture. So the vision, the goals, the rocks, and everything else going on in the business.
Yeah.
That's probably, high level of what we get up to.
Perfect. I mean, so what inspired you to start this type of business?
I wish it was inspired, Winter.
What do they call them? An accidentalpreneur?
Well, not an accidental entrepreneur, but an accidental founder of People Partners. So I've been entrepreneurial for probably 20 odd years, operating businesses. But, you know, the origins of People Partners weren't some great take on the world and looking at what would be the most amazing strategies. We were scratching our own itch. So back in 2014, my co-founder and I were running a training organization. And we were subject to some government funding to help prosecute and deliver training. We had about 2,500 students, 72 staff, you know, three-story office, 30-odd fleet cars. Business was going great. And then we got this newsletter which basically inadvertently announced that our funding was being slashed by 70%. And so pretty much overnight, our business fell off a cliff and we were facing sort of pretty imminent demise. And so we came up with this insane plan, Winter, and that was to relocate our head office. So at that stage, our head office was in Brisbane, in Australia, and we decided to move that office to Manila in the Philippines. And within the space of 13 weeks, we had, initially we'd thought about it and go, okay, well, what roles can we move offshore? We thought there might be four, there might be five. But then when we dived in and we thought, okay, rather than thinking in absolutes, what if we moved 10% of that role, 20% of that role, 80% of that role? How could we re-engineer our workforce? And so I flew to the Philippines, I incorporated a company, I bought real estate, I moved my family, my wife and two kids over there. And from getting that newsletter to starting 35 new staff in that office was 13 weeks. So it was the most insane 13 weeks of my life. And that ensued a few pretty tough months as well of as we were taking these 35 people, sticking them into roles that had never existed before, teaching them cultural training, training on the industry, all manner of crazy stuff. But then a handful of months later, in June that following year, we had our most profitable month ever. And that's what was really the penny drop moment, because we were doing that under 70% less revenue. But because we'd dropped our expenses by just over $2 million, we'd actually managed to be more profitable. And so that gave rise to a lot of reflection. But ultimately, hey, we want to help others. We want to help others not go through that pain and craziness that we had to try and enjoy those benefits.
So amazing. I love that the concept of, you took some lemons and made some lemonade, right? You
Yeah, exactly
figured
right.
another way out. And see, a lot of entrepreneurs, they hit that thing, that bump, that whatever it is, and they can't get past it. And you actually not only got past it, but you created an entire business model out of it. So kudos to you
And I think when you're in
there.
the weed, when you're in the weeds, like I still have vivid memories of getting that news and being in my office and thinking, oh my goodness, the sky's falling, the world's over. What am I going to tell my kids? How am I going to pay the mortgage? You have those dark, dark days. But there's when the will and the resolve is there to claw your way out. Yeah, absolutely. Lemonade from lemons. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how many employees do you have at People Partners itself? Not the contractors that you're working with, but just on-hand staff.
Well, we only employ people, so we don't have any contractors. So we've got just over 1,000 staff. And obviously they're split between most of those staff are working with our clients across, and that's across South Africa and the Philippines. So it certainly keeps us busy and on our toes. But it gives us amazing insights into workforce construct and obviously through helping hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients with that workforce re-engineering piece. And it's really around forming a really robust workforce strategy that can serve them, not just today, but tomorrow and into the future as well. And so that's a big part of we're able to sort of stand on the shoulders of others and experiences of people in various industries that we've helped. I mean, we get to know what works really, really well.
So we all know people, and with people comes problems, right? So
Yes.
that's like one in the same. So, how do you drive accountability in 1,000 employees over multiple businesses to make sure that those businesses and your business is getting what they want?
Yeah, it's a great question. And obviously I think, to be candid, EOS for us has been game changing. And we started running on EOS about 4 years ago, I think it would have been. And for us, that has been transformational about helping get everyone on the same page. Because as you've highlighted, with clients across North America and APAC, offices in South Africa, the Philippines, my founder and I, co-founder and I being based in Australia, we are spread quite literally across a multitude of countries, time zones. And so keeping in sync and on the same page is so fundamental. And that is the bedrock for then, delivering on accountability. And so that's been so valuable for us.
So you obviously run on EOS. So then, what kind of core values is your company kind of working around with what it is that you do at People Partners?
Yeah, so we are passionate, resourceful, resilient, integrity, devoted and excellence are our six core values. And I think, you know, all of those are very, very valuable and important to us. And I think for me, though, the one that's always stood out has been resourceful. You know, we are often plugging in, you know, offshore and remote staff into to businesses that, you know, might not have the most perfectly designed processes and systems in their business. And that staff member needs to be resourceful to be able to sometimes just pick up the pieces and, you know what, we just need to figure this out. We just need to figure this out.
Right.
And so I think, you know, that's such an important value, and it's an important part of our screening process for anyone we bring into the organisation. You know, is there some foundation attributes and traits here that can be seen to be resourceful? Because that's
right.
the people we need to work in small to medium businesses. You know, it's not an enterprise where, you know, the body of work is, you know, chunked down into these, you know, tiny little pieces of work. Often in small to medium, we're taking pretty broad roles. We're taking a pretty broad set of responsibilities that we're taking responsibility for. And so we need people who are resourceful, who can pick up the pieces and run with it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
And so in terms of the clients that you work with, are there any sort of, obviously SMB, but are there any sort of industries or niches that you tend to shine in versus others?
Yeah, it's a great question. And certainly when, you know, we started, we had a massive niche and still do in education, just because of some of our background. But probably over the last 5+ years, you know, we're now servicing, I would pretty much say all industries, you know, from, you know, huge amount of financial services clients, construction, you know, finance, you know, all the way through to got a great nuclear power company that we're working with at the moment. And so really spanning, you know, all manner of industries, because ultimately what is the same when you look top down in you know, a business, a lot of industries look the same. You know, they've got a finance team, they've got a marketing team, they've got a sales team, they've got an operations team. And then finally, they do have some technical expertise, whether that be accounting, you know, law, whatever it might be. And so because we work right across the accountability chart, we're helping them with, okay, you know, workforce in their finance team. We're helping with workforce in their marketing team. We're helping with workforce in sales, workforce in operations, and right through to technical. So we're employing the technical roles, whether it be healthcare professionals, nurses, physios, whether it be, you know, in law, and we're helping them with lawyers and paralegals. So we're helping them with those really technical roles as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So are there any things impacting your industry right now? They can be positive or negative things that are impacting your particular industry.
Well, I think we're probably a microcosm of what's impacting the workforces around the world at the moment, and that's AI.
So you're the disruptor.
Well, whether we're the disruptor, but I think what we're seeing right now is, you know, AI is having this massive ability to level up offshore staff talent. So, you know, it's really helping them level up the value chain. So they're taking on higher order tasks, they're completing them faster, they're often communicating a lot more effectively. Now, how AI plays out long term, I wish I had that secret crystal ball, because obviously its impact on work more broadly is obviously the subject of a whole heap of contention right now, and I certainly don't have all the answers. But right now, we're seeing a massive leveling up of offshore talent, just because they're able to use that as a tool and a weapon to do a lot more effectively and a lot faster.
Interesting. Okay. So as you've scaled your business, what challenges have personally taken you by surprise and how have you handled them?
Ooh, great question. I think part of our challenges has been in and around running, you know, across a lot of different cultures, and a lot of different time zones. I think you know, scaling amidst some of those challenges has been some of our little obstacles on the way. But I suppose for us, yeah, getting everyone on the same page, we run our quarterlies in person every quarter. So we pull our whole leadership team together. And so we, you know, and we believe massively in building and investing in culture to, again, bridge some of those divides and differences. So we're massively investing in, you know, our team building and cultural activities right across our staff cohorts. And in our leadership team, that's massive as well. So beyond our weekly L10s, which are clearly remotely, we pull together every quarter, which I think, you know, that's been, you know, really, really valuable for us over the years to make sure we're all in sync and cultivating really healthy and dynamic relationships together.
So are you using an implementer for your quarterlies, or are you self-implementing?
Self-implementing at the moment. We don't have an implementer who's flying around the world, in South Africa this quarter, Philippines next, Australia the next. We've certainly had some amazing help along the way. And our journey into EOS was probably punctuated by, I'm an EO member. I have been for Entrepreneurs Organization, have been for, I think 12, 13 years.
12 years, because I looked it up, because Ken's an EO member too.
Ah, cool.
And I'm an SLP.
Ah, yes,
you guys have those too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I always get, they were crazy, and actually, terms, SLP and SAP. I always get them confused as well.
Yep. And actually, Ken is going to be running on the board, or Ken's doing a board position, and he just started. So he's up for MVP, you know, like a newcomer award or something like that. So,
fantastic.
So, so far we found it to be great. Tell us about your, you've obviously been with them a long time. You see the value. I love talking to talking with CEOs about their experience with like CEO groups and what you get out of that. So why don't we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, sure. And as I said, it really was what gave rise to us running on EOS, which was, you know, some of that piece. I think, you know, when I remember back to starting in EO, I was a bit skeptical, to be honest. I was like, you know, what do you mean I'm going to be put in a forum with these, you know, six or seven other random people from crazy other industries? How on earth can that add value to my business?
Right.
They're so different. And I remember sitting in my first forum and, you know, people were going around the room and sharing their business. I'm like, this is ridiculous. What am I going to learn from these people? And then, you know, it was so quick for the penny to drop. It's like, our challenges are the same. You know, so many of them are the same, you know, irrespective of business. And I think whilst a lot of people join EO, and I was the same, looking to seek, you know, explicit business benefits, the benefits quickly creep into all areas of your life, and they inspire you personally. They've inspired me massively in my family life. Yeah, and so I think it really challenges you to be a more rounded, better human, not just a better business person. So for me, it's been amazing, and I've been lucky to be involved in Australia, in EO, in the Philippines, and right now a member of EO US Central Bridge Chapter. So that's pulling together people from right across, well, the states and the world for that matter, and we come together quarterly for in-person chapter retreats. We've actually got our chapter retreat in Oaxaca in Mexico next week.
Nice.
Which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's great. I think Ken went to Hawaii a few weeks ago, actually.
For GLC.
Yep, GLC. So we got all the acronyms down, right?
We certainly do. And I think, you know, to take a step back, so it was through EO that I heard of EOS. People were talking on it, running on it. I read the books, and then probably a decisive moment was, had this collision point with a great implementer, Ryan Sharpley, based in Australia. And he was just so generous and so, you know, effusively living the values of help first. He's been instrumental in guiding and directing and helping us over the years.
So go ahead and give a shout out, because we love to recognize implementers. What was his name again?
Ryan Sharpley.
Ryan Sharpley, thank you for your service, Ryan. We do appreciate the folks in this community that are, you know, not just talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. And
definitely
love to give shout outs to implementers and integrators doing great work here on the podcast. So, okay, well, moving on. So where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
So, yeah, we're investing a lot in AI at the moment. So both, internally within our own operations and looking to see how we can help level up our clients as well through improving the efficiency of their operations. Because whilst we're a workforce partner, we're fundamentally, a weapon for them to get work done more efficiently. And at the moment, we're leveraging workforce to do that. But over time, we're anticipating more and more that will be, workforce plus AI working together to get that work done more efficiently. So it's just a continuation of our mission in helping our clients level up and be more efficient and more profitable. And we'll continue that mission, but I think we'll start to infect more of our service delivery with AI and how we help our clients.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's all the rage, but it's so interesting how it can apply in every unique scenario, right? It's
100%.
It's really cool, to watch some of the things that you can do with these prompts and how to turn things around and how fast it's moving. I mean,
absolutely. And some of the massive deployments in our business have been pretty transformational already. And so that's why, we're really keen to make sure that we're helping level up our clients' businesses as well through, standing on the shoulders of the experiences that we're having and the investing in investigating we're doing and the teams we're building in and around AI deployments to make sure that we can avail that to our clients to help them too.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so if you had to do it over speaking to a younger self or a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
Ooh, it's a great question, Winter. younger Ruben, baby Ruben, what would I share with him?
Little baby Ruben.
Yeah, I think probably it would be to do with the importance of focus. I think there's a saying, and I'm sure you've heard it, that more entrepreneurs die of indigestion than starvation. And so I've certainly been guilty over the years of chasing some rabbits. And so I think, whether it's that, chasing that next wave, or you think I'll de-risk my business by having all these other businesses that can be high performing. Mm-hmm. And then you see in the media, these crazy entrepreneurs like Elon Musk doing it with 4, 5, 6, however many businesses, it's got to be easy, right? But my experience at least has been it invariably becomes a pretty massive distraction and end up diluting yourself and cutting yourself short of within your main business. And so I think, younger Ruben would get the little whisper in the ear of stay the course, stay focused, don't chase the bright shiny lights too much.
Yeah, I love that. It's so simple, but yet so true, right? And I do think that the brain of an entrepreneur or CEO, it's literally like, sometimes I have to tell Ken at the end of the day, can we just not go there? Because you're just running a bunch of directions. But if you can get that focus and stick with it, sometimes that's your best bet, as opposed to, you're right, a lot of entrepreneurs will say, well, let's de-risk it. Let's do this and this, and then we have less risk. But sometimes that isn't always the thing to do.
It opens up more risk because, you're not focusing on your core business, and then that gets wobbly, and then, oh my goodness, that gets scary.
Yeah. Okay, so last question. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Yeah, certainly. Well, they can obviously check out our website, which is peoplepartnersbpo.com, to learn a bit more about us, what we get up to and how we do it. But I'll also invite anyone listening to connect with me personally as well. LinkedIn's a great way to track me down. So if they just search my name. And I try to be pretty active on LinkedIn and sharing my journey of leading an organization and the scars, the bruises, the triumphs along the way. So LinkedIn's a great way to reach out and connect.
And we are going to be putting all your information when we post this, so everybody will have easy access.
Sounds awesome.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Ruben. It was an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Winter. Have a wonderful day ahead.
You too. Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.